Frank here is entitled Hatzrei Alechet. But I want to begin the shiur with a story from Tanakh that hopefully you're familiar with, which may at first glance seem to be totally unconnected to what we're talking about. But I think as we look a little bit more carefully into the shiur, into the story, and into how Chazal understood the specific aspect of that story, we'll see, I think, a very, very important insight. So turn to source number one, from Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Dalet. If you remember, Sefer Shmuel, Saul, of course, has been anointed the king, but then he does things incorrectly. Netanyahu was angry at Shaul, and Shmuel is instructed to go in to anoint David to be the future king. And the Malchus will be taken away from Shaul. Shaul is very jealous of David. David is more successful in battles than Shaul. He cut Shaul by the father because he's the river Votah. And at some point, Shaul has in his mind that David may be a Moed Malchus, and David is out to get him, or whatever it may be. And therefore, Shaul is chasing David all over Eretz Canaan, presumably with the intention of killing him. So, the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet, Vayikach Asher Shav Shaul Me'achrei Plishtim, Vayigidu Lo Le'mor, Hinei David B'Midbar En Gedi, David's hiding out in En Gedi, Vayikach Shaul Shloshet Alafim Ish Bachu Mikol Yisrael Ve'elech Levakesh David V'Anashav Al Pnei Tzrei Hayalim. He takes 3,000 men to go find David. And then Pasuk Gimel says like this, Vayavo al Gidro Tatzon al Haderech. He comes to the gates of the Tzon, the fence that's fencing in the Tzon al Haderech, the Sham Ma'ara, and there's a cave there. Vayavo Shol Lahasnech et Radla. Shol enters the cave to do what? He has to relieve himself. He has to go to the bathroom. There are no porta potties, whatever they call those things, I said, none available. Put it on. So he goes into his bed to relieve himself. What he doesn't know is that it was a very deep cave. And what he doesn't know is that David v'anashav b'yakatei ha'ma'ara yoshvim. David and his men are hiding deep into that cave. Now Shaul goes to relieve himself, and how many of his 3,000 soldiers does he take with him? The answer is zero. I mean, he's going to the bathroom. He doesn't goes by himself. Not like women, you guys travel in pairs all the time. No, he goes by himself. So what happens? For your man, she got it. They lost. הנה היום אשר אמר השם אלוקך, הנה אנוכי נושאי נתו יפחה בידך, ועשית לו כשריטה בעיניך. We've got it! What can we do? We can kill it! ויקום דוד ויכרס את כנף המיל אשר לשאול בלעת. But David doesn't kill Shaul. What does he do? He sneaks up to Shaul. Shaul doesn't realize it, and he cuts off a little corner of Shaul's me'il. And then Pasuk Vav, Vayomer l'anashav chalila li mi'ashem imethet hadavar zeh l'adoni l'mashiach Hashem l'shloch yadi bo ki mashiach Hashem u'chas v'shaul manak and he killed Shaul. Shaul finishes relieving himself. He walks out of the cave. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue what happened. After he leaves the cave and he travels a bit of a distance, Pasuk Chet, Vayakam David Achareichem, Vayetzei Mahamara, Vayikra Achareishol, Leimor Adoni HaMelech, he calls out, my master, my king, your majesty. Vayavet Shol Meacharov, he calls David Apai Marta Vishtachu, as they're at a distance right now, and David bows down to him. Vayom David Vishol, Lama Tishma Tivrei Adam Leimor Inei David Mevakesh Vatecha, why do you think that I want to harm you? Hinei Ayom Azer Ra'u Einach Asher Nitan Eit Asher Nitancha Hashem Ayom Biyadin, Pasuk Yud, Vamara, look, I could have killed you. Vamar laharotcha v'tochos elacha. I could have killed you, but instead I had pity on you. And the proof is, and he shows him the cloth that he cut off from his cloth. Look how close I was to you. I could have slit your throat. I could have killed you, but I didn't. And actually, Shaul's whole attitude changes. He says, if you take a look at now, Pasuk Tet Zayin, skipping a little bit, David, is that your voice, my son David? The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, in source number 2, picks up on Pasuk Yud and says that the conjugation of the verbs is not precise. In Pasuk Yud, it says, we think what it says is that I thought of killing you, but I had rachmanis on you. But the Pasuk says, Va'amar, now if you take a look at the Gemara Brachos in source 2, Va'amar lahargecha v'atachol seylecha. It's in third person instead of in first person. Instead of saying, I thought to kill you, but I had pity on you, it's like in third person. It's like, he said to kill you, and he had pity on you. So the Gemara comments, Va'amar, V'amarti nibayirla, should be in first person. V'atachos, which is third person, V'chasti nibayirla, should be in third person, should be in first person. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lo David L'Shaul. When it says Va'amar Lahargecha, and he said to kill you, Minatora ben Hariga Ata. The Torah said I should kill you. Why? Shahare Rodefata. You're trying to kill me. And you all know the famous cloud. Batora Amra Ba Lahargecha. Somebody's coming to kill you, what do you do? Hashem Laharga. You should kill him. So the Torah said to kill. So what saved you? El tzniut shahayta becha ichasa alecha. Your tzniut protected. What tzniut are we talking about? Umayhi. What kind of tzniut was there? The pasuk says, "Dichtiv vayavol al gidro tatzon al haderech v'sham ma'ara." Shaul went to relieve himself. Now, sometimes one of the most disgusting, like animalistic things you see. Sometimes people stop at the side of the road, men stop, and they like start relieving themselves. It's just terrible. Shaul had to relieve himself. Because it talked about the fences in plural. There was a fence, and then there was another fence, and then there was a cave, and there was a cave in the cave. When Shaul had to relieve himself, he was going to be in a tsanua fashion. Behind one fence, behind the second fence, into a cave, inside a cave. And then, Lahasei Chamer Abelazim Alamit Shesikei Chatzmo Kesuka. And then, when he went to relieve himself, he also took his garments and sort of like surrounded himself to even give himself further tzniut when he went to the bed. And David HaMelech said, this tzniut thing, that's the so what do you see from here? So first of all, you see something about the concept of tzniut. It certainly applies not only to women, but applies to men. And it certainly applies not only to how a person dresses. It's talking about how one relieves himself. Allah is the Beis HaKisah. But there's something even more interesting. The Sefer Birkas HaRosh, Birkas HaRosh. Yes, I don't understand. Why did Shaul's tzniut save him? What was it about Shaul's tzniut that saved him? David says, the Torah says, Abol lahoz hashkem lahoz, I'm supposed to kill you, but your tefillah saved. Basically, what the Birkat HaRosh, Birkat HaRosh is saying, is that when David saw how Tzanua Shaul was acting, he realized that somebody who acted so Tzanua at the end of the day wouldn't kill him. Because if a person acts with such degree of Tzanua that he's not so animalistic, he's not really Havala Harkha. The more tzanua you are, the more refined you are. And at that point, David HaMelech said, I can talk to Shaul. I can reason with him. I understand there's always this ruach ra me'et Hashem that can drive him crazy. But if he could be such a tzanua person, then he's such a refined person, there are other ways to save my life. The kachava, and that's what it was. He shows Shaul that he's not out to kill him, and all of a sudden Shaul calls him Bini. And he says, Tzadik ata mimeni. And that's the message. The message is that a person who is Tzanua, and I'm talking about truly Tzanua, truly Tzanua person, is also a more refined person. And maybe that's why when the Navi Micha talks about three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from, in source number three, Yigid lecha adam matov v'ma Hashem doresh mincha ki masot mishpat va'ahavat chesed, justice, chesed, what's the third thing? V'atzmei alechet im elokecha. Be tzanua. Why? Because the person is really tzanua, he's really fine. Take a look at a comment that Rabbi Franz makes in source number four. Tzniut, in fact, encompasses a number of closely related ideas. Above all, it is the call to us to emphasize and strengthen the internal aspects of our personality, to concentrate our energies on that which is deeper and more hidden within us, our spiritual nature. And that is why the command to walk humbly before Hashem could serve for the Prophet Micha as one of the three basic principles upon which a Jew must conduct his life. It is nothing less than a demand that we emphasize the divine image within us, the soul which was taken from under the Kisei HaKavod and brought into the physical world. Person becomes a more tzanua person, becomes a more spiritual person, becomes a more refined person. We'll talk about Zat Hashem now. Some sneeze. So I can talk about many things. And the truth is, you can open up a Shulchan Aruch and you can see there are halachos of sneeze from the Beit Mikdash. And go to the bathroom with sneeze. That's what we saw by I'm not so sure how appropriate it would be to give that cheer. And I'm not so sure that that's necessarily what we need to concentrate on. And I want to state from the outset that not everybody who dresses tzanua is necessarily a tzanua person. It doesn't happen automatically. You can dress the part, but it doesn't become your personality. But, and this is important, if a person wishes to truly be a tzanua person, they won't be able to accomplish it unless they act as a tzanua person. And one of the ways in which we need to act to achieve that, I think, admirable goal of being a tzanua person is to dress tzanua. Tonight I'm going to talk about, as you can tell from the cover sheet, four different areas of tzanua in terms of dress. We'll talk about shok. We'll talk about zroa. We'll talk about tzavar. Those are parts of the body. And finally, we'll talk briefly about mechnasai. Chapter. Let's start with the discussion of shog, source number 5. The Gemara Bracha says as follows, Amar Achista, shok b'isha erva. The shok, and we'll see very soon, we'll try to see very soon what the shok is, but a revealed shok in an isha is erva. And how does the Gemara know this? It's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Shene'emar, gali shok, ivri naharot, uchtiv, tigol ervasech, v'gam tira echer pasek. Tira echer pasek. If you take a look at source number 6, the Navi Yeshayahu is talking about all the perennials, all the terrible things that will happen to Babel as a result of all the terrible things that they did to Bnei Yisrael. And it says, Chi rechayim betachani kemach, you'll have to take grindstones and grind the kemach, which is very hard work. Galitza masecha pich shovel, and then it says at the end of the Pasuk Beis, Gali shok, reveal your shok. It's referring to Babel as a feminine person here. Gali shok, ivrina harot, reveal the shok to cross the river, because you won't want to get your clothing wet. And when you do that, tigal ervateich. What does it mean, tigal ervateich? Your erva will be revealed. So if the Navi says, reveal your shok and cross the river, and therefore your erva will be revealed, so Chazal learned very clearly that shok, the isha, is erva. Okay. What's the $100,000 question? That's not so much money nowadays. I get $64 million questions. What? What's the shok? So Rashi, in Chumash Vayikra, when the Torah is talking about korbanos, and this is important to keep in mind, and within the context of korbanos, Torah talks about a shok. So Rashi says in source number 7, min ha-perek shel ha-arkuva, from the joint of the knee, ha-nimkeret in arosh, that would be sold with the head. So if you take a look at an animal and you're talking about from the joint of the knee to be sold with the head, we go from the knee up or from the knee down? From the knee up. Right. As a perakam tishu sofech shel regel shel yaref. Shel regel v'yaref. Basically the thigh area. We're talking about above the knee, right, is the yaref, is the thigh, and that is the area that's considered the shok. Based on this and a few other sources, the Prima Gaddin, in source number 8, says, Bahave Yodeya, you should know, the Lashon Shok Hi Meha Arkuva is from the knee and up. You can skip the parentheses, but it quotes this Rashi and other sources. Nimsa Kol HaRegel Ad HaArkuva Shekorin, what's the next word? Ad HaArkuva Shekorin Kiniya, this is your Kini, right? Your kini. So, until you get to the kini, in the makom shahochim yachay for megula efsha she'inchshash. Says the Prima Gaddin, if the shok is above the knee, then below the knee is not the shok, and therefore, in a place where women walk around with the with below the knee uncovered, Eksha Sheikh Shash means that there's no problem. Because the erva part is above the knee, the upper limb. And based on the Prima Gaddin, which is based on Rashi, says the Mishnah Brura, V'chein b'parsot regel ad hashok, and therefore from the bottom of your foot until the shok, v'hu ad hamakom shenikra kini, Lashon Ashkenaz, the makom shedarko melech yafeif, in place where people go with the lower leg revealed, muta likros kenega, one a male can say kriyat shma, even though a woman's lower leg is revealed in front of him, Shekevin Sharaga Baimena Bali Behira, right? This is not considered erva. The erva is the upper leg, not the lower leg. And therefore there's no problem of being Kole Kriyat Shema Kenegad erva if the lower leg is revealed. So you have here, based on a Rashi, you have a Prima Gadim and a Pesach of the Mishnah Brura, that what part of the leg needs to be covered, which part is the shulk? The upper leg. So Mishnah Brura part. However, in source number 10, he points out, Ukfar nitkashu harbe gedolim bedivrei ha-prima gadim halalu. Many gedolim have a problem with the prima gadim in source number 8. Why? Shedvarav tzrichem iyun gadol. They require great introspection. Ki hama'ayen yire shekol ra'ayotav hein nishok shel behema. Rashi and some of the other proofs that the Prima Gadim brought were all proofs based on what the definition of shulk in an animal is. And, getting back to source number 10, the lohezi et divrei hatosfot b'menachos ha'nizkar l'mala shechilku bazeh ben shulk da'adam l'shulk d'beheima. Tosfot already pointed out that the term shulk by animals is not identical to the term shulk when we talk about human beings. And Rashi in source 7 was talking about shulk of animals. The source 10 quotes a Tosfos, and that's what source 11 is. But let's listen to what source 11 says. Umiu ein raya mizroa de behema lezroa d'adam. You can't prove to me what the zroa of an animal is based on what the zroa of a human being is. Why? The hashok da'adam nami lo havi kashok de behema. Because the definition of shok by a person is not the same definition of shok by an animal. We use the term differently with humans than we do with the animal kingdom. And he brings a raya from a mishnah in Ohalo. So, someone was kind enough to photocopy source 12, the Mishnah in Ohalo. Take a look at the Mishnah in Ohalo. Okay. Taking an anatomy course. That's what's called in medical school Gray's Anatomy or something like that. There's a famous... Okay. Anyway, source number 12. Matayim barboi mishmone ivarim ba'adam. You should all know this, right? How many words are in Kriyat Shema? 245. Right. And then, if you're davening b'tzibur, you get three more when the chazan says Hashem Elokeichem Emet. And if you're davening by yourself, you get three more when you say Kel Melech Neman. But it all adds up to 248. Because a human being has 248 Eivarim. We usually translate Eivarim as limbs. But again, the scientific definition of limbs in the Torah, what we use Eivarim, may be slightly different. But there are 248 Eivarim. And the Mishnah is kind enough to tell us what they are. Source 12. Shloshim b'pisat haregel. There are 30 in the bottom of the foot. Shisha b'chol etzba. There are 6 in each toe. Okay. Asara b'karsol. And then there are 10 in the ankle area. Shnayim bashok. Chamisha ba'arkuva, 5 in the knee. Echad ba'yarech, 1 in the thigh. Shlosha ba'katlis, 3 in the hip. Achatetveis, tzlaot, 11 vertebrae. Toes, ankle, shoke, knee, thigh, hip. Where's the shoke? It's between the ankle and the knee. Right, because it goes toes, ankle, shoke, knee, thigh, hip. And therefore, Tosfos says the shulk, I'm not disagreeing with Rashi, says Tosfos, that the shulk in the animal is above the knee. But you see from the Mishneh Nahalo that the shulk of a human being is clothing. Therefore, according to the Tosfos, based on this Mishneh Nahalo, it would seem that if the shulk is the lower leg, what must the woman do? The lower leg. Let's take a look. Source number 13. Ayin shelo tshuva tshevet alevi, that's Rav Elzner from Bnei Brak, shekein muchach b'tshuva tshevi kiva eger, b'kama rayo, d'shok eitzel adam, nikra mashel imata mina nikra belaz, kini. It's below the knee. Ayin gama mamar Rav Agon of Neuvert, shahalach hazu sheyesh lechasot gam mitachat laberek, to cover even below the knee. Uchachat mi divrei habach. V'chein divrei habach. Shulchanor acharav. Baruch ha-shulchan. Sholudat kulam kavanat ha-gemara shok yishar v'lechalek shubayin pasot ha-lachelek. Shubayin pasot ha-regel v'vein ha-vera. It's from the ankle until the knee. That's the shok. So we have here on the one hand the prima godin and the Mishnah Brura who are talking about human beings. He says that the shulk is above the knee, and you have the upper leg, and you have others based on the Mishneh Nahalot, including Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Bach and Yoruch HaShulchan, Rav Elzner, say no, the shulk is below the knee. So which one is it? Machloket. You take a look at the second page. The Chazon Ish writes as follows. The high shulk, and this famous shulk, near the hu perek ha-tachto, me ha-arkuva ha-tapa eket. It's the lower section from the knee to the ankle. Aval min ha-arkuva lamalo hu tsanua behetleit v'lo etzarek lashmina. The Gemara didn't have to quote us any sort of pasuk to tell us that the woman needs to cover her upper leg, all the way from the knee until the thigh. That's axiomatic that that's there. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that. The pasuk was something to teach me that the lower leg is erva. But then, says the Chazon Ish, Uva Mishneh Brura, Siman Ayin Hei, Sit Katan Bet, Hekel b'perach ha-tachton shel ha-regel ad-arkuva b'makom shalchem l'bumos. But the Mishneh Brura didn't understand it that way. The Mishneh Brura was lenient regarding the lower leg. And he finally says, v'koshe l'achriya b'adoha. It is difficult to resolve this dispute. We have a machloket ha-post. Zavid, Mishneh Brura, say women need to cover the upper leg and not the lower leg. Bach, and see, they don't have the Shukran, the woman needs to cover even the lower leg. And the Chazon Ish says, Kosher Lachriya Badon. Difficult to resolve this dispute. Shlomo Zalman, in source number 15, Shlomo Zalman Oibach, says like this, Linyan Shok, Yadua sheyesh sovrim shezerak hayarek. We know that there are those who say that it's only the thigh, it's only the upper leg. Aval rabu acholkim al zeh, but there are many who disagree with this. V'lachein, vaday tzrichem lahakpid, lo latzeit larachov b'li gabayim. A person should be very careful not to go out in the streets without socks that cover, or stocking something that covers the lower leg. Nevertheless, aval ein ligor b'makom she'amon ha-pashut lo makpid al kach. However, if there's a location where the majority of the women aren't careful about the lower leg, ein ligor. What does it mean, ein ligor? You shouldn't yell about it, you shouldn't protest it, you shouldn't castigate it. Why? Because this is machloket. If you ask if Shlomo Zalman, what would he recommend? Said, cover the lower leg. But somebody who, if you live in a place where it's not done, must start giving them musa that they're absolutely doing something wrong. No, it says machloket aposkim. If you're living in a place where everybody covers Ulam Alam, that everybody does, and you're living there, what do you have to do? And you have to also cover Ulam Alam, if you live in such a place. And in our generation, where Nebuch, there's so much preaching going on, says, in our generation, it's a proper thing, he doesn't say it's an obligation, he says it's a proper thing for people who are chayav b'dvar Hashem, and it's a good thing to protect people, the mishmeret and hekar gadol, to separate ourselves from people who are not acting properly. So we have here a machloket aposkim, everyone agrees that the show is erva, everyone agrees the woman has to cover the show. The machloket aposkim, whether it includes only the upper leg or includes also the lower leg. Some poskim, Mishneh Berurah, the most famous of all, the poskim would say it only includes the upper leg. And many poskim disagree and say it includes the lower leg. The Chazon Ish seems to hesitate to say with absolute certainty out of poskim. Shlomo Zalman recommends covering the lower leg, but he doesn't say that that's an absolute obligation. And he says that if you see places that people don't, ain we go there. Atkan Gabe Shok.
What book is stopping possibly to, like, shouldn't do anything? Like, some of it is even
more
stopping to even speak.
So, Shlomo Zalman talks about this in the same piece, but I didn't photocopy. The question that he deals with is as follows. Can erva be covered? Gemara actually talks about this. Erva that's covered by transparent glass, does that solve the problem? Like the halacha is that a man can't be covered kriyas shema kenegda erva. So if there's erva, whatever's clearly erva, and that woman with erva is behind transparent glass, can the man be covered kriyas shema because there's a glass partition between them? The answer is no. It doesn't. So, he was asked, what about certain stockings? So, as you know better than I do, there are certain stockings that are totally opaque. Stockings that are totally opaque. So he was asked, what about, I guess we would use a term like translucent stockings, but they're not absolutely sheer. So, he writes that since the lower leg is a matter of dispute, and therefore, although one should be machmir, his recommendation is one should be machmir, but since it's a matter of dispute, one should be nakel with stockings that aren't 100% opaque. Now, here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if they do this in America, I think it's only in Eretz Yisrael, they sell stockings, they're labeled how thick they are. Something called denier. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you don't know, yes, Mrs. Castle, the size of something, I don't know. But I think they range from 15 to 20 to 40 to, I think, 80. 80, I think, are bulletproof, like that. And in various kihilot, there will be different appropriate nihugim as to how thin or thick the stockings should be.
But if
it's opaque, like even opaque stockings, there's so much, you can't just wear opaque stockings with the whole leg. This is a different question. We'll have to talk about Zerola. But let's for the moment, Zerola, okay? Zerola. Now, is it okay to cover the Zroa with something that's totally opaque, but with the shape of where the shape of the Zroa is clearly visible? I hope so, because that's what everybody does. Almost everybody, unless you're wearing like a shawl or a burqa or something like that, you know, one of the burqa ladies. But that would be okay. That's the minagola. And I'm like the funnest people. would it be okay for a woman to walk around in the streets wearing, what are those ballet people wear? What are those things called? No, but without the skirt on, leotard? Like, well, leggings, like, but only leggings. There isn't a definition of skin that's visible. Would you say that's tsanua? Tsanua, you've got to be crazy. That's not tsanua. Why? One sec.
Calm down.
There are certain parts of the body where what needs to be covered is the skin. There are other parts of the body. It's not only enough to cover the skin, but one should not overly emphasize the shape of those parts of the body. Which body parts, I think we can all realize on our own. But there is a difference, even according to the Machmirim, that one needs to cover the lower leg. There's a difference between the lower leg and the upper leg. In the lower leg, it's visible skin. That's the problem, and therefore the machmirim say you have to cover the visible skin. In the upper leg, it's not only the visible skin that's the problem, but the very shape of the upper leg also becomes a problem. And therefore, you need to, in addition to not having visible skin or skin visible, you need to cover the shape somewhat and not overly emphasize. Okay.
Where does it say what?
I didn't say everything has to be covered and not everything. Nothing can have a shape. But there are certain things that I think are axiomatic. Would you come? If somebody would come along and say, "Listen, I want to have any skin visible. I'll take paint, and I'll paint the skin with a layer of paint from head to toe, and walk down the street like that. So no skin is available. So that's tsanua. So we all know that it's not tsanua. We understand that. Right? Everybody understands that clothing, whether worn by a male or female, which is, I'll take the extreme, which is exceptionally tight, that you can see every single contour of the body. Everyone understands that that's not tsanua. Doesn't matter, everything's covered. Doesn't matter, man or woman. When you can see every single contour of the body, it's not tsanua dress. Some of the things you can't, you know, they are so, as I said, so axiomatic. You don't necessarily have to start writing down, except nowadays that's what they do. But you don't have to start writing down every single, you know, the rachel bitchak ptana, every single little detail. There are certain things the person understands. Something's tanu and something's not tanu. Yeah.
I understand the argument.
Did he
paint rachel because he was upper in the way? But it seems that like the only thing in favor of so seeing me and up is a comparison of Bonaho and one hand which is Lewis and he's naked.
Mishnah Berurah based on a prima god.
Okay, everyone else is saying
that it's not that. Okay, listen to that. I'm not here to tell everybody that, you know, I think everybody should be 100% makeup, et cetera, et cetera. I'm pointing out there's a machloket, a poskim. You want to reach your own conclusions based on that? But, you know, I didn't say that. People always like to ask, like, well, what's with the knee? So, I went online, this is already listed, trying to, like, what exactly is the knee? So, the knee, if I understand correctly, maybe you have a biology, the knee is a joint. So basically, you have the upper leg and the lower leg, and where they connect is the knee. So the joint, to a certain extent, like the knee cap, so to speak, covers like the connection. So it's like covering the upper leg and the lower leg where they join together. That's where the kneecap covers. So the knee is itself partially made up of upper leg, so to speak. What are you made up of? Partially lower leg. So the knee itself is not independent of the upper leg. But there's also, that's one thing. Secondly, it is, I was going to say nearly impossible, but it may very well be impossible to cover, to not to cover the knee and to keep the entire upper leg covered. It just can't happen. Clothing doesn't work that way. Because if I was painting and I can draw in a precise line and I can just paint one area, another area, I could do it. But clothing doesn't work that way. Shift the top, the bottom, the this, the that. You can't, I don't think it's possible. Even if you were to say that I don't cover the knee, but I cover the entire upper leg. It's, if you don't cover the knee, you won't be able to cover the upper leg. Yeah, but it won't be possible. First, two things. First of all, I think the knee needs to be covered because the knee is partially upper leg. Secondly, even if you disagreed with me, it wouldn't be possible to keep the knee uncovered but have the entire upper leg covered. It's just not possible. It doesn't work. Try it. No, so then they talk about the shulk, and there's a discussion. They don't talk exactly. We'll see when it was elbows. It actually, some of the posts can actually talk about it, elbows. But as you'll see with the discussion with elbows, part of the thing is you can't cover, because you're dealing with the joint, you can't keep that uncovered and cover everything that's beyond it. It doesn't work. You need to cover that in order to ensure that what's above it is also covered. We'll get to it. Yeah.
Well,
the Chazon Ish, when he writes at the beginning, when he says that it's at, you know, they don't need a pasuk to tell me about the
evidence. Okay, but then at the same time, like, I know you're going to be discussing pants, but, like, maybe that's, like, how do you know what to find? If it's something that's so axiomatic, how do you know that it's not just, like,
so, what do you deal with pants? Listen, I know there are a lot of questions, but we're not going to get past shows if we don't go on. So, all right, let's go on to the next thing. The next thing is Rela. Okay. We start with the Mishnah Maseches Ksubos, which is more famous for a totally different area of women in Halacha. The Eilu Yotzos Shelo B'Ksubos, source number 16. Right, the following women can be divorced by their husbands and will lose out on the ksuba. They don't get the ksuba because they acted improperly. And that's any woman who was overt al Dat Moshe Yehudit, who violated either Dat Moshe or Dat Yehudit. The Mishnah then asks, what's Dat Moshe, which we won't talk about. And then the Mishnah asks, what's Dat Yehudit? What can a woman do that would violate Dat Yehudit that would cause her to lose her ksuba? So the Mishnah lists three things. Yosa Verosha Parua, she walks out in the public area with her hair uncovered. Obviously, we're talking about a married woman. She walks out into the Yosa, into the Shuk, with her hair uncovered, or even the Shuk, maybe not the Shuk, but that's a discussion in the public area. The second thing is Tove Bashuk, she spins thread in the marketplace. What about that in a second? And the third thing is midaberet and kol ada, which you would probably call a plug. Midaberet and kol ada. So these are three things. The woman who has her hair uncovered, that's the first thing. The third thing was the slur, who talks to everybody. The middle thing is that she's spinning thread in the shuk. The Gemara asks, the Tava Bashuk, source number 17, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bemare zro'oteha livnei adam. I don't think I've ever spun thread in my life. But evidently, when you spin thread, the spinning wheel was, you would sit, and the spinning wheel was high up. Now, look at the sleeves of my jacket, right? A perfect fit. I went to the tailor, it comes up. Okay. Now, I am going to spin thread. And what happens when I start spinning thread? What happens to my sleeves? They go this way. And evidently, when a woman would be spinning thread, if she'd be in this was in the shuk, right, what was her violation of that behudit? She would be megalez ro'oteha. She would reveal her arm. Here we're willing to accept the lenient opinion that we're only talking about the upper arm. The Mish has a child at the lower arm. Okay. We'll assume it's the upper arm. And she would reveal the upper arm in the shuk. Now, I've heard that there are some poskim who suggest that this issue is a societal issue. Meaning, shuk, based on the poskim in Jericho, whether zroa is ever or not, depends on how women in any given society, what's the accepted dress of women in a given society. If women normally cover the zroa, then you can't reveal it. But that depends on what women normally do. The Mishnah Berurah did not hold that. In source number 18, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Aval zroateh v'shoka, afilu regilin leilech migula kiderach hafutzos, even if you live in a place where the women are walking around where the zroot are migulot, like the putzot do, asr, it's still asr. In other words, it's not a societal thing, says the Mishnah Berurah. Objectively, a woman cannot reveal her zroa. Shlomo Zalman in source number 19 writes, "Ubemichtav tshuva l'rav echad v'chutz l'aretz katav Rabbeinu, zroa, mashe nogea l'asniut kolel gam et hamarpei." When we're talking about seals, the zroa includes the marpei. What's the marpei? The elbow. Ve'ein lismoch klal al hamekilim. One should not rely on those who are lenient. And then he writes after the parentheses, v'gam tov v'yafeh l'chasot od ma'at mehayad. It's a good idea to go a little bit past now.
Why is it going to go past the elbow?
Because clothing isn't staple to our body. It moves. And if you have something just covering the elbow, what happens when you move your arm? It moves. Like, I don't know if I think, maybe someone said at the beginning of the year, like if somebody were to wear a shirt, that, you know, if I were to wear a shirt that reached just the top of my pants, just like that. So if I walked around all day like this, you know, and I hardly moved, so that would be fine. But the moment that I stretched, right, so it wouldn't work. Therefore, it says, if Shlomo Zalman told, check yourself, a little bit past the elbow. So, this way, in more ways than one, you cover yourself. By the way, in source number 20, just very quickly, he quotes from the Baal HaFlah. The Sefer HaFlah, something very interesting. He says that the problem with the zroa is not only a woman who all the time walks around like this. Because the Gemara says that even a woman who was just spinning in the shuk and occasionally her zroa would become revealed, even that was considered a violation of that belief. Even that was considered a violation. So that's in terms of the zroa, the upper arm. Based on the Gemara in Masechet Ksubos, that revealing the upper arm is considered a violation of that behudit, and therefore, which, according to Mishnah Berurah, according to Shlomo Zalman, not everyone necessarily agrees, but is not a societal thing, but is objectively, and therefore the Zohar has to be covered as well. The third thing, which is the necklace. Just don't mind holding off for a couple of minutes. Okay. Let's start with the necklace. So in source number 21, it says from the Sefer Halichot Bat Yisrael, he writes, "V'zeh shir akisi beivar mashonin bitzavara mimakom." Well, let's start with something again. I'd like to term axiomatic. It's axiomatic that at some point, if the neckline is too low, I think we can all agree that that would be Erva?
So the question is, where do you draw the line?
So where do you draw the line? So he says, "B'tzavarani makom chibur atzavar laguf ulamata." So what needs to be covered from when the neck is connected to the body and below? What is he talking about? So I have a neck, and you have a bone that goes here. It makes like a V. Right? If you feel, you have a bone. I think they call this the collarbone, right? So from this side of the bone and up is your neck. From this side of the bone and down is your body. So, says the Halichot Bat Yisrael, right? From the bone below, that's the part that needs to be connected, to be covered. And also in the footnotes right underneath that, he quotes from Rav Zilber. Says Mimakom Shematchel Hashipur LeTzad Haguf Mistaber Dedino Kamakom Mechusa. And similarly, Shlomo Zalman in source number 22 writes Benogei LeBeit HaTzavar Efshar LaHakel, one can be lenient ad haEtzem until the bone. Imkach Minagamakom. People are lenient until the bone. That's okay, but not beyond the bone. Why? My understanding is very simple. Says there's the neck. And there's the chest. The chest needs to be covered. The neck doesn't have to be covered. Where does the neck end and the chest begin? The collarbone. That's the dividing line. So until the bone, you're in the neck area, the neck doesn't have to be covered. Below the bone, that's the chest area, and that needs to be covered. And that's why the collarbone is the dividing line. Okay, that's in terms of Tzavah. And finally, In terms of pants. Very briefly, Yabi Omer Rav Avadi Yosef first says that some people claim the problem with pants is an Issa Doraita has nothing to do with Tzniut, but another Issa Doraita of Tegedis, or probably Kli Geder. Says Rav Avadi Yosef in source 23, Yesh lomar she'ein b'nidon didan yishum lo yekli gever alisha. In our issue, meaning he's talking about pants, he doesn't think that there's a violation of kli gever when you're wearing pants. A woman's wearing pants. Why? Mikevan she'esh abdel mikavim michnesei gvar lemichnesei nashim. It says women's pants are not the same as men's pants. They're different pants. They look different. She'michnesei anashim asuyet v'imine tzivonim she'en anashim lovshim dugmatam klal. They're made of all sorts of colors that men would never wear. They're also designed differently. They're different. Now, women wear shirts and men wear shirts. Yeah, men wear shirts. Women can't wear shirts. No, women's shirts are different than men's shirts. I know, I'm sorry. I've been curious about girls wearing Hanes t-shirts, but that's different. T-shirts are different. Okay. But they're designed differently. She says, women's pants are designed differently than men's pants. It's not together. But, and here's a big but, says Rav Avadi Yosef in source 24, continuing in the same long tshuva, Mikomakom moda ani she'ein lahatir kan lechatchila levishat michnasayim eilo lebanot. We don't allow women to wear pants. Ki bigdei shachat say. They're very unsanua. Uma'orot tsumat leiv miyuchedet leroeihem yoter me'asher simlao chatzait rigila. Says, and they attract the attention because pants, as opposed to a proper skirt or proper dress, pants emphasize the contours of the body figure and therefore attract a person's eye to a much greater degree than a regular dress or skirt. Umeviot lidei hirurim ra'im. Ve'in lebenot Yisrael hakshirot lalechet v'hem klal u'bifrat, and especially b'michnasayim ha'muhudakot mamash al aguf, those that look like they were painted on the body, shegormot istaklut v'irim ra'im b'yetel fe'et, right? Those that are especially tight, this is certainly a horrible one. But even regular pants, says the Inu b'not Yisrael, not because of kli gever, even though the Minchas Yitzchak says that there is a problem with kli gever, he says that it's not. But because they're big day shachats in the Moritz Tumat Hamet. There's one more thought that I want to yet do, but before that, I have time for a couple of questions. Only 300 years. Okay, the Gemara talks about Tefach Bi'isha Erva in the context of being Kori Kriyat Shema. However, there are more rights in Shulchan Aruch that even though Tefach Bi'isha is Erva, that if a Tefach is revealed, you can't be Kore Kriyat Shema. He writes that it's still even less than Tefach, still lost to reveal. Just the question is the leniency, can a man, can somebody be Kore Kriyat Shema if less than the Tefach is revealed? But not that you're allowed to reveal less than Tefach. So there's certain halachos about how a woman is supposed to dress, and there are other halachos about to what extent does this forbid a man to be Kore Kriyat Shema keneged. Right. Now, it could be that if you have slightly, you know, if it's less than a tefach, it's still the wrong way to dress, but it's so little that a man can be Kori Kriyat Shema. It doesn't make it right the way it's dressed. Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. That's the last choice, in a certain sense. Okay? Yeah, he says he doesn't like pants at all. But we'll see. Even baggy pants, it depends how big they are. But baggy pants, to a certain extent, still outline the contours of the body more, unless they're like, I don't know, so big. They're lattice. Okay, we'll see still. We'll get to the last source. Rachel, you have a question?
No,
yeah. That was a question, yeah.
One of our things came over the
time
was like a fabulous
I think ever since Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaat, men are men and women are women. There's a certain taiva, a certain psychological makeup that is human nature ever since we ate from the Eitz HaDaat. And styles of dress change. But human beings will be human beings. Read Tanakh. Read the literature from written, I don't know, 2,000 years ago, from the Greek, etc. Certain things. Say. Yeah.
I don't want to throw on the other ones of the thing that like they were carrying before it ends with the show.
I think it's a good question. I think that you have to realize with the Zeroah, they weren't talking about a woman who walks around all the time with her, like, in a sleeveless dress. They're saying that even if a woman were to just be spinning in the shul, that in and of itself was grounds for divorce. I don't think that Chazal needed to write in the Mishnah that if a woman walks around like a mythical Lady Godiva or something, whatever that is, like, if a woman were to, you know, be star-crazy walking around in the streets of whatever town she's in, but that counts as divorce. Also, in fact, it's understood that that counts as divorce. We're talking about here, where even if it was just occasion of the Zeroa, even that.
So it's more like theoretical, like, even if the woman only
do it by accident, I listen, if it's grounds of divorce, if somebody did it by accident, they didn't realize, I don't know, they started to tell them not to do it, but we're talking about a woman who refuses to listen to reason. You know, obviously, in all these cases, a woman one time did something, all of a sudden, you're running to the divorce court, and it was excluded. That's not a Chazal had in mind. It's about a woman who doesn't, you know, who acts in a certain way, and insists on continuing to act in that way. Okay, what's the last source? All right. It's
so, isn't there a thing that says, like, for women covering their hair? No,
it's
not
a topic,
but,
like, that's
for women covering their hair, like, do the Abba is allowed to show a little bit, like,
there's a tshuva of Rav Moshe, but that has to do with very different. You have to understand why Seir B'Yisha Erva. Hair is very different. Because you have to ask yourself, why in the world are you, all you guys walking around with your hair uncovered? Like all of a sudden you got married and all of a sudden became Rav. Where in the world do you find it? Hair looks very different. Everything else is Erva and therefore needs to be covered. here is in exactly the opposite direction. Right. When a woman gets married, she needs to cover her hair. Because she needs to cover her hair, therefore it becomes erva. But that's a whole new discussion. Okay, what's the last source? Source number 25. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Kishem shachacham nika b'chachmaso b'deyosa v'umuvda me'em nisharam. Just like a chacham, a chacham, is recognizable by his knowledge and his wisdom, and he's separate from everybody else. What's a Talmud Chacham? He's much smarter than anybody else. Right? He is more insightful. He knows more. Kein sorech she'enika b'masa. So too, he must be different and recognizable, l'sheva, by his actions. B'ma'achalo, how he eats, u'b'mashkeyu, and how he drinks. U'b'bi'ilato, in his marital relations. B'asiyat shachav, how he goes to the bathroom, going back to Shol HaMelech. B'diburo, how he speaks. B'hilucho, how he walks. The Malbusho, how he dresses, the Tilku, the Varan, the Maso, the Matano, etc. You call a Masim Elu Noim Umitukanim Biyota. A Chacham can't act with the barest of minimum of acceptability. A Chacham has to be more than that. In the way he walks, in the way he talks, in the way that he acts. We expect more. As Rav Yoshev, or as Moshe Feinstein, the Rav Lazar, or as Zul Nagov, or the Kiva Eitz, we expect more in their behavior, and we have a right to expect more. And they have to rise to the occasion. And one of the things that's mentioned here is Malbusha. I don't know if it says anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that there's an interest to wear blue jeans, but if Rav Yoshev were to walk, you know, to walk around wearing blue jeans, it would be more. Maybe a 13-year-old brother is allowed to wear it, and there's no Easter involved. But it's wrong if Rabbi Yosef would suggest that. The Chacham has to be, in all of his actions, non-mitukan and biyotah. And if you demand something of a Chacham, I think, if we think about it for a moment, we demand something of a B'nai Yeshiva. We sort of expect a guy who's a B'nai Yeshiva, Yeshiva guy, not to act like the rest of the street. It should be different. And it bothers us, and it should bother us. If he's walking around and he's being rowdy on the street, it should bother us. And it bothers me when I see a Shiva guy smoking, it bothers me when I see somebody else smoking. If I see a Shiva guy flipping a cigarette down, it bothers me. Because we've been mean, and we shouldn't. It's not enough just to say if it's not absolutely us or it's Musa. Now, I don't demand of a yeshiva, of an 18-year-old yeshiva guy, the same thing I would demand or expect of a yosh. It's not the 18-year-old yeshiva guy not to go to Lazar. But nevertheless, I would expect him to dress in a certain way and to act in a certain way. And if that's true of a ben yeshiva and a ben tov, the same thing is true of a bas tov. Somebody who's starting to be a bas tov can't just say, I'm interested in the minimum of minimum. Just tell me, if it's not absolutely us, then I go ahead and do it. No. We should demand more of B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah. That doesn't mean we demand the same thing that we demand of the Gdolei Ador. It's a graded system. But not everything that isn't clearly Asur is okay, is appropriate. There are things that may not be clearly awesome, but they're just not appropriate. Not appropriate for someone who's striving to be a ben Torah, being a baso. I remember that when I was in yeshiva, there was a guy in yeshiva who went on to become a very popular person. But when he was writing in yeshiva, he used to occasionally, very occasionally, more than occasionally, he used to wear jeans, and he actually ripped jeans. I was telling you, maybe it's me, I don't know. It bothers me. He's a good guy. He gave a question to Thomas Cup. Don't play ball, I don't care, fine. But you're sitting in the basement in yeshiva and you're wearing ripped jeans. I don't think that's appropriate. Never said anything to him. I think that the Ram Chosdeus would have said that that's not a problem. Nothing is awesome. It's not a problem. There are many questions you can ask about this kind of dress and that kind of dress, something that's not exactly, it doesn't seem to be exactly awesome. But there's certain types of dress and certain types of action, as we talked at the beginning about tzanuah, that may not be absolutely awesome, but they're not appropriate. They're not appropriate. And it has to do with the way we talk, and the way we walk, our interaction, how we do business. We have to be careful, because our goal is to become tzanuah people. Not only tzanuah in our dress, but to really be hatnei alecha dimalokecha. To really work on that inner self, that Rabbi Freyan talked about at the beginning. To work on building up our neshama, and then we have done what Ma'ashem Lekecha Bereshit. Stop here.